Proposed by staff. And I think that benefits everyone. I think it benefits the Everett House. I think it benefits the neighbors. I think it benefits the city in enforcing the conditional use. And so I think, again, that goes to addresses many of Mr. King's concerns about wiggle room. The proposed condition language takes away that wiggle room by and large. There were a couple of items, as staff noted, of new evidence. I would note that I don't believe that the schedule that Mrs. King presented is on the record. The other thing, just in terms of clarifying the record, the Everett House actually made a public records request to determine if there were any formal noise complaints, and they discovered only one. It is on the record. It is Exhibit H-59 in the hearings officer's record, and it was 5 years ago. Again, just clarifying the record in response to Mr. Cole's testimony, the applicant has never requested a variance. Instead, it's an amendment to its existing and valid conditional use. In terms of the use types and the activities, again, I want to be very clear that our preference would be, and we believe that all of the activities, including chiropractic and acupuncture, fall within a reasonable reading of the 1982 CUP. There is history in terms of discussions with the city that I cited in our letter, where it talks about Mr. Mantell's practice being non-traditional and holistic style of chiropractic medicine, and that he was doing the same type of chiropractic service that he did when the conditional use was approved. Just to point that out again, we take the position that if you disagree with that, then we would agree to the condition removing those uses. And then finally, again, to be very clear, the 1982 CUP did not have any limitations on the number of people that could be present at the site. And I think a good reference in terms of what was contemplated in 1982 when that conditional approval permit was originally issued, the hearings officer required 30 off-site parking spaces. The hearings officer also required 10 bike spaces. So that's contemplating at least 40 people at the site. And that doesn't account for those who walk multiple occupancy vehicles or those who take buses. So I think, again, the hearing officer's reliance on 15 people was misplaced. And we'll leave it at that. Again, I think what we've proposed resolves many of the concerns of the neighboring property owners, absent completely shutting down the Everett House. And again, that's not on the table. As long as what is proposed is consistent with the 1982 CUP and we meet the approval criteria set out for amending it and removing the parking condition, approval of the center and allowing it to continue with appropriate conditions is the correct path.
Yes, legal counsel.
Did you have a question?
No, it looked like you had a comment.
That's all I have. I'm happy to answer any questions. If there's any more traffic questions, Mr. Art is available. If there's any more questions specifically about his chiropractic practice, Mr. Mantell is available.
Yeah. Can I make a comment?
You have 14 seconds.
Well, I'd like
to say
there's a letter from Sterling Bennett, Bureau of Buildings, in 1997 saying that the chiropractic practice that I was doing was holistic in nature, and therefore he was not going to question whether it was part of the conditional use permit or not. And that's in the record.
Thank you. Commissioner Fritz?
That's just a building inspector and not a hearings officer who made that decision.
I'm sorry?
That was not in the record of a hearings officer's decision or any conditional
use. No, it was Sterling Bennett
use.
From Bureau of Buildings or one of the bureaus. Sterling Bennett had written it to Charlie Hayes. Commissioner.
Yeah, but they don't have the authority to make a policy decision like that.
Yeah,
so
I don't know.
Because I'm very concerned about, there was discussion back in 82 about was chiropractic allowed. There was recommendation to find a business zone. There was the recommendation in 82 that the staff recommends denial, stating that what began as a local community service is increasing in scale to provide service on a metropolitan-wide basis. And so, you know, what's your response to, you've been providing chiropractic services and acupuncture, which are both medical services, without having permission to do that?
Well, in 87, when I applied for a building permit or a remodeling permit, staff, Doug Warren, reviewed everything and said that what was approved was some of the things that I did, which was massage, health counseling, relaxation. And in 1997, Sterling Bennett also reviewed it and basically said that, which is in the record.
But did Mr. Warren say that, no, you couldn't do chiropractic?
Did Doug Warren?
Yeah.
In 87?
Yeah.
Yeah, he said that chiropractic per se was not approved, but these activities that I did was approved, which was the massage, relaxation, health counseling. And then in 97, it was reviewed again by Sterling Bennett, who basically said that he thought that the waters about chiropractic were muddied, he wasn't going to pursue any enforcement, and that that I've been established since it first started, and that the practice that I was doing was holistic and seemed to fit within the definition of the conditional use permit. And that's in the record, a letter from Sterling Bennett from 1997.
I think the bottom line is there's evidence in the record that the city has not taken the position that chiropractic expressly wasn't allowed. They indicated that it was muddied. So there wasn't clear enforcement action to prevent the chiropractic practice from happening. Again, we are very clear at this point that if the council believes that chiropractic does not fit within the 1982 CUP, that we would agree to an express condition prohibiting chiropractic or acupuncture on the site.
Thank you. I appreciate that. The other concern I have, though, is that there's a tremendous amount of coming and going to this residential neighborhood. I think nobody questions that, right? So how else could you – the noise condition that's been proposed either by the hearings officer or by the planner is not helpful at all. It doesn't – you know, we know from noise complaint experiences that – well, it's in the record that it's only about amplified noise. It's not about people's voices. But if you've got, you know, 10, 12 hours a day of people being outside talking to each other, even if some after nine they're whispering, that's a lot of activity in a residential neighborhood. Is there something that you could think of that would mitigate that issue?
We've thought about ways to further mitigate. I think, again, it's not required by the 1982 CUP, would be my first point. But one thing that I think could be helpful, again, with these improved conditions, both to the neighbors and to Everett House, would be, and it would actually replace what is now Condition A, which is the ambiguous, if the noise causes an undue impact, you couldn't have that number of people, would be to put, in addition to a cap on the number of people in a class, a cap on the overall people that can be on site at any time. And the appropriate number, I think, would be 65. That's consistent with what the traffic study evaluated. And it's not that far, again, above what was considered in the 1982 CUP, given what they required for parking and bicycle and considering other forms of transportation.
How would that be enforced?
It would be an overall cap on the number of members and visitors that could be in those three houses. It would be up to the Everett House to enforce that themselves. The city could come up with a different enforcement mechanism. I do believe that one thing that is clear to the Everett House and their community from this process is that they need to be very conscious of their impact on the surrounding neighborhood. And I think that going forward, they would understand the need to, if such a cap were placed, to adhere by it.
Is the 65 number consistent, or what's the relationship between the 65-person limit that you've suggested and what you know about existing either building code requirements or fire bureau requirements?
I don't know the exact number for building code or fire bureau. I believe that 65 is well below what would be the maximum in each individual house based upon the size of the houses, but I don't know that number.
I would add, too, that based on the parking analysis and the fact that previously 30 parking spaces had been required, that assuming a 1.6 person per vehicle occupancy and about 20% non-driving participation in the site, you arrive basically at 65 people based on that. So that coincides both with the prior request for 30 off-street parking spaces and the analysis that showed that the approximate impact of this development is 30 parking spaces. So all of that is consistent with the existing use of the site as well as the prior condition of approval.
So when it comes to occupancy, I don't really care about the traffic analysis. What I care about is what is legal and safe according to our building codes and occupancy right. mm-hmm. rules. So how in the world would we make a decision on that if we can't be provided with what those are? We would have to know the square footage of each of the buildings. This shouldn't, it's not rocket science. Every restaurant and club elevators have occupancy limits posted.
We could have the fire marshal find that out, I imagine.
Yeah, but the problem is we have to make a decision today based on the information that's
I think irrespective of your decision, though, the fire code will apply. So if you made a decision that had a condition of approval that said a maximum of 65 people and the fire department determined the limit was 30, we would still be subject to the limit of 30.
Also, the 65 is all three buildings plus outdoor space, and my knowledge is not a fire code for outdoor space, the number of people. And we are also self-limiting in terms of people that use the spa facility. There's only a maximum that we can have. There's health department rules, how many people can be
sure.
at one time. So.
Well, we could.
But it does sound like at times there have been many more than 65 people, and while I think your business organization is a wonderful community service and a vital part of our social infrastructure, it's also an extraordinary amount of traffic, whether it's foot, bike, or cars coming in and out of this neighborhood. Now, it's a block off of 28th Avenue. I don't know how the neighbors know that the offending drivers who are blocking driveways or parking illegally are your customers or their restaurant or theater right. customers. And I don't, you know, I want to do the reasonable, responsible thing here, but I don't know that it's really going to truly mitigate the neighborhood concerns. So what we have to go by is...
Well, I have a thought on that.
Okay.
So, you know, I'm looking at... are we through with this panel here?
I don't have any further questions.
Yeah. I think we're through with it so we can
Can I just add one more thing related to that traffic?
We've got it.
Okay.
Thank you. That concludes the hearing part. So now we're in.
I just want to just share a couple thoughts with my colleagues. And I'm going off the March 20th, 2019 memorandum we received. So it's a four-page memo. And Commissioner Fritz, I believe that you were earlier on page 2 referring to the staff recommendations. Mm-hmm. Which are laid out. And then on page 4 is under number 5 is alternatives facing council, lays right. out the menu of options. I'm leaning towards the second bullet, which is grant the appeal with conditions, and the conditions are all laid out here. Commissioner Udaly, you've raised an interesting point. Number one, we are not... With the consent of the parties, we're not required to make a decision today. At most, we're going to make a tentative decision. I'm intrigued by the idea of a 65-person cap because it just instinctively feels lower, actually, than what the law would provide. But nothing that, to my knowledge, nothing prevents us from reaching a tentative agreement with conditions, setting this over to a date for adoption. And during that time, just reviewing that question a little more, having legal counsel take a look at that question, about what the build, what actually the fire code is or the building code is.
I'd like to propose a different way forward, and that is to deny the appeal. And having aired all these problems, I think it is appropriate for them to start over. That, yes, I agree with Commissioner David, this is a very valued resource for our area. It's having huge impacts on the neighborhood and has operated without permission of having chiropractic and acupuncture medical uses for many years. So if we set a limit on 65, I'd be horrified to have 65 vehicles coming to a hot tub near me.
Well, I'm since we're in the discussion phase, and I'm sorry that I'm sorry we lost a colleague. This might be one of those rare instances where we need a body of five to make this decision. But let me make the case for granting the appeal as is suggested as a second alternative. And I'll just read the prompt from staff. Overturn the hearing officer's recommendation. Grant approval of the more limited spectrum of previously approved uses from CU 2682, which that specifically means limiting the uses to clearly defined 1982 conditional use and accepting council's alternative recommendation that we take chiropractic and acupuncture services off the table. Removing the requirement for off-street parking, that's the main issue before us, and imposing earlier staff recommendation conditions of approval. And those are all set forth on page 2 of the memo. And I think there may be a couple here where the council would want to sharpen them or modify them. But that's the framework that I would like to propose that we consider for a couple reasons. One is that I think the applicant has met the burden of proof that the parking can be accommodated. And that the parking is the issue that triggered all this. And by the way, I mean, I, for 20 years, lived not far from this location. Just having parking doesn't have necessarily much impact on the intensity of driving in the neighborhood. People are going to be driving in the neighborhood looking for parking spots. People are going to be dropping people off and then parking. There's the parking itself is not the silver bullet. But I think the applicant, through their consultant's report and their testimony, has met the burden of being required from the off-street parking requirement. I believe that it is charitable to call the 1982 conditional use approval so vague as to potentially cover chiropractic and acupuncture services. I think that's charitable. It is not well written. I think that's an argument lawyers need to make. Ever since I got my cancer diagnosis, I'm a huge believer in acupuncture and massage, so I get it. But I do think Commissioner Fritz is right. I think these are qualitatively different. They're medical services in a residential area. I don't think they logically grow from the 82 conditional use permit. So my sense is balancing what I've heard as the testimony and the various issues that we have to grapple with, I'm prepared to support the second alternative. Again, grant the appeal, overturn the hearing officer's recommendation, grant approval of a clearly limited spectrum of previously approved uses, taking chiropractic and acupuncture services off the table, as has been discussed, removing the requirement for off-street parking, and imposing earlier staff recommended conditions of approval. And I would urge that we use that as the framework for discussion.
And Commissioner Fish, can I just clarify for the record what you're reading has in parentheses as previously approved uses to include sauna, hot tub, massage therapy, relaxation, health counseling, and tea food services. So your motion includes those things but then explicitly excludes chiropractic services. Is
and
that correct?
And acupuncture services.
And acupuncture explicitly excludes those.
Correct. And okay. The what's in parentheses is what I think everyone agrees is at least covered by the conditional use permit. Health counseling is the term that's open to interpretation. I think, in fairness, and I'm persuaded by what Commissioner Fritz, the argument she made, that chiropractic and acupuncture services just can't be justified under health counseling. And in any event, our commercial activity of a different, our medical services of a different character in the neighborhood. I'm a huge believer in them, but I just don't think they're covered by 82 action. So I would offer that as a framework for discussion, Mayor.
Could I ask one question, Commissioner Fish? With the staff report conclusions under Section E on page 3 under J. It says deleted. This is the occupancy permit to change the structures from residential to community service. They were obtained in 1982. This condition was previously met, so that's no longer applicable. That's probably a better question for legal counsel.
Yeah, that's my understanding that the recommendation from staff was to remove that condition.
Okay, great. And with regard to, there was some testimony regarding, I think one structure was called a Sears-like structure, and the other, I think, was referred to as cardboard.
Yeah, there's the tarp-covered,
carport,
carport-like structure,
carport,
which has been identified as a maintenance storage, and a garden gazebo structure identified as a mediation area, and staff has recommended that both structures be removed.
Okay, and that would be the net effect of
adopting the staff.
Granting the appeal with the conditions that you've recommended here under paragraph.
Excuse
two.
Me, the staff says one can remain in place and the other one has to be removed.
Two.
Okay.
Two for removal.
Pardon me?
Two removed and one stays.
Excuse me. Two
okay,
removed
and so let stays. Let the record show also that I misheard. Obviously, they meant carport, not cardboard. And I was wondering who duped you into buying that. All right, good. Thank you. I appreciate that.
I offer that as a motion, Mayor.
I have a question for the attorney. I can't. Okay. So there was mention about wanting to move the gazebo to comply with the
setbacks, yeah.
Setbacks. Is it actually, do we know if it's possible to move the gazebo to comply with the setbacks from the property line, but also to be far enough away from the others? You know, I don't know what the
whether or not there's enough space in the
yes.
site plan.
Yeah.
I don't know. Potentially, staff's indicating yes, but, I mean, council could always impose a condition that just says they could
comply.
Have that type of structure and that it just has to meet setbacks.
Yeah,
and
it needs
that
to comply.
Particular one doesn't. They
okay.
could get a smaller one.
Commissioner Fish, I'll second that motion.
We have a motion from Commissioner Fish. We have a second from Commissioner Udaly.
Okay, I'd like to speak against the motion.
Commissioner
There's
Fritz.
Multiple other places in the hearings officer's decision where he says that the approval criteria are not met. For instance, the hydrotherapy services were not approved by the conditional use in 82. The flotation tank services were not approved in 1982. The classes of up to 15 to 20 people were not approved. So, and multiple other places. I mean, it's going to take rewriting and being quite creatively rewriting this entire decision to be able to approve it. And part of the problem is, as the hearings officer notes, that the conditional use approval in 82 was really inexplicable in why they approved something taking off the 15-person limit that just went to something much more vague, despite saying this has gone to be, this is clearly not compatible with the neighborhood. And Greg Frank notes that in 20 years as the city's hearings officer, he's never criticized another hearings officer, and yet goes his entire findings are riddled with concerns about the underlying conditional use, as well as now removing the parking with all of these people coming to the site that were not envisioned to come to the site before. So I think there's a hugely different impact on the neighborhood than was envisioned in 1982. And by saying, yes, we're just going to do away with the one condition on parking and maybe putting a few others in, this is an on-the-record appeal. So it's supposed to be on the evidence in the record. As Commissioner Udaly has said, we don't know what the fire capacity is. We don't know what the fourth property that's now being used, what that's going to be used for. There's just not enough information in the record to be able to sustain an approval, in my opinion.
Well, if I could speak to that.
Commissioner Fish.
I think there's adequate evidence in the record to address off-street parking. We can agree to disagree on that. I think counsel for the applicant, I thought, made a reasonable case for taking chiropractic services and acupuncture services off the table as an alternative approach. We did have testimony from the opponents that is a heavily scheduled level of activity at the site. So I think it's reasonable to take up that charge and remove them because I don't think they're consistent with the 82 conditional use permit. I think that brings clarity And I think the staff recommended conditions are well grounded in fact and are thoughtful. So I think in fact what we're doing is replacing the 82 conditional use permit with a much better roadmap. I suspect this won't be the only conditional use process that they're going to go through over time, because I think there's going to need to be, there may be future conditional use permits to get additional clarity about the scope of activities at this site. But I think under the proposal that I've made, which is a compromise, I think we have much greater clarity than we do currently under the 1982 conditional use permit. And that's why I would advance it for our consideration.
So we're also capping at 65 and moving or removing the violating structures, right?
Well, the structures are part of the staff recommendation. So that, in terms of the cap on 65, is that a friendly amendment?
I thought that's what we had but been wasn't, discussing.
We were debating that point.
Oh, okay.
Would you like a cap of 65?
Previously, we had said there should be no events over 20 people, which the applicant agreed to. No events, classes, or workshops over 20 people. And I think we should add, or total capacity of more than 65.
I would accept that as a friendly amendment.
Thank you.
Just so I can understand, no more than 65 people at one time?
Total.
No more than 65 people?
Total.
One time.
At one time.
On the entire site.
Facilities.
All three facilities.
Yeah.
And was there a cap on classes? Did I hear that?
20. On events, classes, or workshops.
Okay. And then for the record, just so that I understand, Council, the remaining uses that or activities that came up during the hearings officers, during the hearing, before the staff recommendation of yoga, hydrotherapy, flotation tank, and special events, Council's considering those to be part of the general catch-all. Is that...
I'm not proposing to limit yoga and flotation tank.
I want to be clear that I understand why chiropractic and acupuncture would be reasonable to have at this facility, why it's really nice to have it combined with all these other services, but those are medical services and need to be treated differently. No one can tell me that yoga doesn't fall under relaxation, and no one can tell me that's a medical service. So I'm comfortable with that distinction. And I want to say it seems that Everett Street has been operating on a ask forgiveness, not permission basis for a really long time. And the result is a lot of unhappiness with the residential neighbors in your community. And you have to care about that. And also sets a really bad precedent for other neighborhoods where we've got these conditional use permits for businesses operating in residential areas. So while, again, I love the facility and I love everything you do and I enjoy acupuncture, massage, and hot tubs, this thing seems to have grown beyond a manageable size given the context that the business exists in. So that's my thinking.
Unless there's any further discussion, I'd like to call for a tentative vote on the proposal. Commissioner Fritz, do you have more questions? Please call the roll.
Fritz.
I appreciate what Commissioner Ujjayi just said. It's clear to me that this business has exceeded the size that the neighborhood capacity. It's far exceeded what it was even allowed to do in 1982. There was an opportunity over the last 4 years to ask for it to be rezoned to commercial, and that apparently was not taken. So I think it's a mistake to continue to allow it to expand and to take away the parking when we've heard from the neighbors that there's already a problem. No.
Fish?
First of all, I want to thank everybody for taking the time to join us this afternoon. If everybody here had taken the opportunity to testify, we'd be here till 7 or 8 o'clock, so I appreciate the restraint that people showed. I appreciate the care that went into the testimony on both sides. I appreciate from the opponent getting a written statement that I could read along and that was as thoughtfully worded and prepared, sir. So thank you for the time and energy you've put into your advocacy. And, of course, I thank counsel for the appellant, for doing something which happens all too rarely in land use proceedings, which is laying out alternatives for us to consider that sometimes are against the interest of their client. And we are trying to find the right balance in these things. This is art, not science. There are rules we're bound by, but we're also trying to balance a number of things. We're trying to be thoughtful. We're trying to be responsive. When we are guided by counsel that get pitch alternative ideas, help us get to the right place, I applaud that. It's not always the case, but it certainly serves the client well. Appreciate hearing from the testimony. And I just want to emphasize something that Commissioner Udaly said earlier, and we've all said, but this is not a referendum on chiropractic and acupuncture services. 2 years ago, I was a complete stranger to Eastern medicine and to alternative health strategies, and because of a chronic health problem, I was persuaded to try some new things, and frankly, acupuncture has changed my life, and massage and doing things, and I'm proof that you can turn 60 and still learn a new trick. And so I appreciate the benefits. We're not here acting as passing judgment on the quality of the services or the utility of the services. We're looking strictly at whether it's appropriate for this location, and I hope people understand that. I thank my colleagues for a very thoughtful discussion. I vote aye.
Udaly.
Well, I'd like to think, Commissioner, that I have something to do with you opening your mind to acupuncture. He didn't accept all of my recommendations, but...
I haven't made a final decision on one.
Okay. I want to thank everyone for coming. I want to appreciate what all of you provide to the community. I want to say thank you to the opponents. I know it's not easy to be part of a small opposition group, and you brought really legitimate concerns, and I jotted them all down, and we certainly can't resolve all of them with this particular decision, but I would like to follow up with you on some of them. Thank you, Commissioner Fish, for wrapping this up for us. I vote aye.
Wheeler.
Well, there's never a perfect answer to any of these. By the time an appeal gets to the City Council, it's usually because there's no obvious solution. And so it requires us to balance what we hear in the hearings. I heard very thoughtful testimony on both sides of this issue. And at the end of the day, I'm compelled that the compromise solution is the right one. So I'm going to vote for the motion. The motion passes, but I want to be clear, this is a tentative vote.
Yeah.
And we will have a final vote scheduled on.
So the... code requires that the prevailing party, which is the applicant in this case, their attorney prepare findings for then staff to review and the attorney's office to review. And it sounds, with everyone's schedule, we're looking at potentially the week of May 1st or May 2nd coming back to council.
It'd be 11 a.m. on May 1st.
So, and we'll coordinate directly with exact time frame for preparing everything, but okay.
And if I could ask the City Attorney's Office to pay special attention to make sure that the framing of the findings doesn't
Absolutely.
Expand on the 1982 permission.
Yes, we always heavily review and revise as
I know
appropriate.
You do. I just wanted to put that on the record. Thank you.
Very good. So today's vote is a tentative vote. The final vote will be at 11 a.m. time certain, May 1st. Here at Portland City Hall in the City Council Chamber. Thank you all. We are adjourned.